Saluditos. Hola. Aloha. Ni hao. Namaste. Konnichiwa. Bonjour. Buongiorno. Sawadee kerup. Guten tag. Ciao. Viva cat bang. Half a day. Jai Janendra. Salam. Shalom. Peace. Now. Go vegan. Peace. How? Go vegan. From the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical vivisection prison, killitary industrial corporation in the cheese-covered post-constitutional bankster bankrupt corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, foodborne in the NSA, NRA, USA. Home of Uncle Sam, Manila, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, celebrating 13 years on the air. Yes, I can't explain it either, but here we are, 13 years, as heard on the Air America Radio Network and CBS and Clear Channel radio stations, now nationally syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network. We are live Sundays, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also click Listen Live at GoVeganRadio.com. And I'm just happy that it's summer, huh? What a beautiful, globally warmed day it is here in Northern California. Yeah, I do hate to admit it. I really do love hot weather. And I mean, I don't love it that much to want all the wildfires and drought and superstorms and all that. But hey, if you're going to eat, you know, what you call meat, dairy, fish, and eggs, well, I won't feel guilty, you know, enjoying the heat wave that you caused, because you caused at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. So I'm just going to wear T-shirts and shorts and flip-flops and sing. I'll sing happy summer tunes to myself, you know, summer songs like, the old program director in me, and just, they just flow through summer songs, right? Like Summer Song by Chad and Jeremy, you remember that, and Heat Wave, Martha Reeves and the Vandellas, and this is what fills my brain, you know, like I can't meditate because things just pop in, and now it's, you know, summer songs, you know, like Summer by War, and, you know, Summer in the City, Love and Spoonful, Summertime Blues, and Summertime and the Living is Easy, and, you know, Summertime, Summertime, some Summertime, and, yeah. Boys of Summer, Don Henley, and Summertime, the Boys of Summer. Who are the Boys of Summer, huh? But of course, the Beach Boys. I'm just thinking of a classic like this one from the Beach Boys, for example.
I'm gonna be right. My vegetables, I'm gonna chow down my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable. If you brought a big brown bag of them home, I'd jump up and down and hope you'd toss me a carrot. My vegetables cart off and sell my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable. All day by vegetable. I tried to kick the ball, but my tinny flew right out. I'm red as a beet, 'cause I'm so
I know that you feel better when you send us in.
your letter and tell us the name of your favorite vegetable.
Okay, well, you have your favorite Beach Boys song, and I, as a vegan talk show host, have mine, okay? So, there, the Beach Boys take us back to more innocent times, don't they? I mean, in actuality, when our children did look more like, you know, Beach Boys, sorry to say, rather than Beach Balls, really, you know, I mean, yes, my mother bought my clothes in the Husky section for children. That's true, way back then. And I suppose even now I could stand to lose a few pounds, but I do fit in normal chairs, you know. And but we seem to have gone to extremes, you know, especially after the past 30 years. I mean, and you do know that airline seats and hospital chairs and coffins are all being built bigger and bigger to accommodate new supersized clientele. I mean, I feel terrible. I see people more and more obese all the time, and I feel bad that no one has ever offered an option. No one thinks to do, you know, well, the natural thing and go vegan because it's too freaky. How natural can the freaky thing be? And then they're all, you know, off, I don't know, freaking out about, you know, things that, when you really think about it, don't pose much of a threat to their families, you know, like Al-Qaeda, right? Unless our endless wars keep droning on and on endlessly. But, I mean, who is and who has proven to be the number one terrorist threat to children in the U.S., doing horrific damage for at least 3 decades, huh? I mean, the threat to America wasn't bin Laden. Yeah, we misinterpreted. It's the bun laden with flesh, meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. How does one define a pedophile anyway? Someone who targets children with dangerous activities? Who tempts them with at-risk behavior? Does Ronald McDonald penetrate any of your child's orifices? Is Ronald McDonald some pervert who sells a product? Really? Think about it. If you want to think about it, who wants to think about it, right? It's a Happy Meal. These are products of bestiality. All of his products are the result of animal rape. Who wanted to grow up to do that, huh? Look at all the hormones, sex hormones, growth hormones in the so-called animal products that people eat. Look at how rapidly kids are developing sexually these days. And how rapidly they are developing more and more poundage on their bodies. This was noted by the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, talking about childhood lost, how the Happy Meal can lead to diabetes, obesity, and hypertension. And PCRM says that, let's quote here, for more than 30 years, McDonald's has included toys alongside children's Happy Meals. And for more than 30 years, the rates of diabetes and obesity in children have steadily increased. A cheeseburger Happy Meal has 520 calories, 20 grams of total fat, 8 grams of saturated fat, 50 milligrams of cholesterol, and a whopping 880 milligrams of sodium. Happy Meals are marketed explicitly for children, and then children are rewarded with toys for consuming the high amounts of fat and sodium. And, let's not leave out the high amounts of animal protein proven to be deadly, too, carcinogenic. Read the China study. Continuing with what PCRM says about McDonald's and the Happy Meal here, it says, with the increased focus on let's move and the rising cost of childhood obesity, McDonald's has tried to make its unhealthful meals more palatable via marketing. It has introduced Happy, a new Happy Meal mascot, which children found so unappealing that the image and kids' reactions went viral. Yeah, the kids, I saw some of those reactions. The kids thought that Happy was really creepy. One kid said that Happy looked like he was looking at him, thinking, ah, I finally found a human I can eat. Really. Okay, what else did it say here? It said McDonald's has also introduced e-books in both the United States and the United Kingdom. Offering books with a meal creates a more positive image than offering a toy, though the toys still appeal to children by tying into current trends and popular culture. Recently, McDonald's has promoted toys connected to Spider-Man, Pokemon, and American Girl. In 2006, Disney ended its cross-promotional contact with McDonald's, not wanting Disney characters to be used to market unhealthful products. Offering toys and books in exchange for purchasing and consuming a high-fat, sodium-laden meal is a potentially dangerous tactic that could further the current health crisis facing children in the U.S., so says Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. It also says that one-third of U.S. children are overweight or obese. Nearly one-third of children in the United States eat fast food every day. Do you believe that? Nearly one-third of children in the U.S. eat fast food every day? That is sick. Parents, wake up. Vegetables. How about veganic vegetables? We'll be eating them at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. And Alan Herndon, one of the veganic farmers who will be there, will be on the show today, coming up on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. On Twitter, at GoVeganRadio. Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And I invite you to register for the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Registration is open right this very moment. You can go to WorldVeganSummit.com. We're gathering together, basically, to save the world. So hope you'll be there. It's a good cause, right? I was discussing, my favorite target, Ronald McDonald, America's number one terrorist, targets children, and was looking at Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine discussing the Happy Meal. Happy only for the profiteers. Nobody's really happy, certainly not the animals. And so from PCRM, the doctors there, it was talking about childhood lost, how the Happy Meal can lead to diabetes, obesity, and hypertension. And it says for more than 30 years, McDonald's has included toys alongside children's Happy Meals. And for more than 30 years, the rates of diabetes and obesity in children have steadily increased. And before the break, I was mentioning, says here that one-third of U.S. children are overweight or obese, nearly one-third of children in the United States eat fast food every day, says that this is this obesity rate is more than double the obesity rate from 30 years ago. Double! Not only can obesity affect a child's daily life and self-esteem, being obese at a young age sets children up for other health problems later in life. PCRM says that in addition to the physical cost, childhood obesity comes with a financial cost. Research published in Pediatrics indicates that obese children face an additional $19,000 in lifetime medical costs. And multiplied by the number of obese 10-year-olds in the U.S., the price tag for that age group alone reaches approximately, do the math, $14 billion. And it also says here that diabetes is no longer just for grown-ups. And as obesity rates in children rise, the diabetes epidemic is getting much worse. Though diabetes used to be a condition seen primarily in adults, a recent study found that type 2 diabetes rates rose 30% in children and adolescents between 2001 and 2009. Fast food intake among children is likely the major culprit, these medical doctors at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine say. Fast food intake among children is likely a major culprit. The main component of the Happy Meal is a beef patty. And research has shown that meat eating should be considered a risk factor for diabetes, since even moderate amounts of meat consumption can increase risk. And then it goes on to talk about sodium and hypertension. Sodium intake is linked to high blood pressure in both adults and children. Harvard researchers found that high blood pressure in kids and teens increased 27% in a 13-year span. Additionally, children who are overweight or obese are a higher risk of hypertension. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends that parents have children as young as 3 screened for high blood pressure. Can you believe that? What? The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends that parents have children as young as 3 screened for high blood pressure. One of the recommended ways to prevent hypertension is avoiding processed foods and eating a heart-healthy vegan diet. With excessive sodium, saturated fat, and cholesterol levels, the Happy Meal is not a heart-healthy option. It is not happy at all. The protein, cancerous. Anyway, we will continue with Alan Herndon coming up. We will talk about the difference between vegan organic farming and organic farming on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. On Twitter, at GoVeganRadio, and Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. I have neglected to ask people to like that page because, I don't know, isn't it crazy egomaniacal to have a fan page for oneself and ask people to like it? I don't know. So please like that page. And then follow us on Twitter. You know, we put out a lot of information regarding the upcoming World Vegan Summit and Expo that will be taking place at the Marina del Rey Marriott, March 20, 21, and 22 of 2015 in Southern California, just, you know, a few short blocks away from Venice Beach there. And It's going to be an amazing event, and if you go to worldvegansummit.com, you can click registration and register this very moment, and many of the registration levels, or a number of them, are meal inclusive. And you can also check the amazing menu, the sample menu that we have planned there, subject to change, but probably not much. It's going to be an amazing weekend. And we are raising the bar on the quality of food for our very important vegan guests. We are going to have as much vegan organic food as possible. Vegan organic, meaning veganic, which is different from organic. And we'll find out about what that difference is from one of the farmers who will be growing our food for the event. This is so exciting. Alan Herndon is with us. He is with Freckled Sunlight Farms. He is a veganic farmer. How are you today, Alan?
I'm doing great, Bob. How are you?
Terrific, terrific. So tell us, well, first of all, what would the difference be between organic farming and, or gardening even, and veganic or organic vegan farming or gardening?
Well, I mean, the main difference is that we're not using any animal products whatsoever. And what that means in produce farming is that we're not using any like manures or feather mill or fish mill or bone mill, any of these types of things that can go into the fertilization of organic produce, because organic farmers are still allowed to use some animal-based types of products in the soil of what they're producing. Well, veganic goes a step further than that. And so we don't use any animal products whatsoever. We use other types of plant-based types of approaches that are really, you know, better for the environment and also break that chain of using animal products in produce.
Mm. So could you remind us of that yucky list you just mentioned that actually can go into organic agriculture?
Well, they have products that you know, that come out of all types of different types of livestock animals, and so it can be blood meal, bone meal, feather meal, fish meal, even, you know, shrimp compost. You know, there's just a whole list of these things that can go into the different types of manures and what they still classify as non-chemical fertilizers in organic farming. But veganic farming doesn't use any of those whatsoever. They use, you know, different plant-based techniques, for example, like vegetable compost or, you know, and it's more about, you know, using crop rotations and just different types of more environmentally friendly types of approaches to, you know, growing your produce.
Mm. And how did you first get interested in this? You're a vegan and you're a farmer, or how did you first get interested in this?
Well, that's pretty much it, right? So I'm vegan, and I'm a farmer, and it's just really about education. Also, talking with other vegans. For example, one of our places that you'll be able to, you know, pick up some of our veganic produce is going to be Viva La Vegan Grocery Store. Currently, right now, they have two stores here in the Los Angeles area. And so it's just really about
One in Rancho Cucamonga and one in Santa Monica.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so, you know, talking with some of the owners over there, Arlo, and he talks about this very passionate, you know, like most vegans are, and kind of introduced me to that world of doing that. So I decided to take that approach in our farm. Looking into it, it's just the way to go. And, that's just it. You know, vegan, farmer, just the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what prompted you to be vegan?
To be honest, it was just more of more of the creative conscious awareness of what's going on. And, you know, for a long time. See, I wasn't brought up vegan, you know.
Who was? Not many of us were, you know.
I know, like only our children now, right?
Yeah,
and
we hope.
And for me, it just didn't feel right. I always felt, you know, when I saw livestock and so forth, it just, it, you know, kind of disturbed me, the treatment of the animals. And then I became more, you know, conscious of my own health and what I was doing, and you know, and I'd read articles and look up different types of things, and I changed for my health and changed for the environment. But on the greater side of it too, it's just, you know, really the animals deserve to be treated and returned to their natural state, and
Born, you know, not in the, you know, they're churned out like cars in a factory. They deserve not to be born into misery if they're going to be born, you know, to be used, to be killed. I mean, and then what we're seeing here now is, I mean, I think most people have thought, well, how do you grow crops without manure? You know, so so what? What does go into your, well, is it mainly fertilizer that's different from, and what's also amazing is that we have thought that organic is the pinnacle. I mean, if organic is, you know, the highest level thus far, what could conventional be? You know, you know, what's considered conventional, although organic should be conventional, which would be most natural, it seems, right?
Yeah, you know, you just need to check with your organic farmer. I think that some organic farmers may be using that, you know, some of these techniques and so forth. So I think it's more about, you know, each person being aware of where they're getting their food and talking with their farmer and seeing what types of practices they use. And they may be surprised at what they do or don't do. You know, there's so many different techniques, and, you know, it's just about being aware and sharing information and farmers getting together. And there's different types of resources online, too. There's Veganic Agricultural Network. They publish a lot of good information there. You know, if you think about, you know, soil, it has a lot of microorganisms in it. And if you don't just take one kind of blanketed approach to it and you rotate your crops and you, you know, you don't over-till the soil and you let a lot of the natural weeds and the flowers and, you know, really the earth takes care of itself. If you just, you know, kind of help let it manage itself, it will produce for you what you want it to produce. And it's just plants producing plants. It's very natural.
Well, we manage to complicate things all the time with our GMOs and monoculturing and, you know, just growing corn or soy or, you know, it's really horrible what the state of modern agriculture has become. Tell us about Freckled Sunlight Farms and what are you growing there? And this is your veganic farm that will be growing the food for us at the World Vegan Summit. We look forward to maybe time lapse photography or pictures. Right. Pictures watching what we'll be eating growing there at your farm. So tell us where you are, what you're growing.
Okay. Freckled Sunlight Farms is located in Orange Cove, California, and we really have designed our farm to produce a variety number of fruits and vegetables. This way, you know, we can continuously bring out veganic produce 52 weeks out of the year. And so, of course, everything that we just discussed so far, you know, that's what we're committed to doing. It's beyond organic, it's veganic, and individuals getting, you know, produce from Freckled Sunlight can really, you know, get a mixed variety of fruits and vegetables throughout the year. Mm-hmm. And so we're really excited to be
this is finally now available. I mean, I think vegans are going to be very excited about this. I think this is like the wave of the future, veganic. I mean, we would go the extra mile for sure to get veganic food. And so this will be available both in Southern and Northern California. from you.
Yes. Eventually, we do want to go into Northern California. So beginning right now, so starting this next month, it will be available at the Viva La Vegan grocery stores, which you mentioned, the Rancho Cucamonga and the Santa Monica location. We are also beginning to sign individuals up for our CSA, so the Community Supported Agriculture, and we're going to be just beginning in the Los Angeles area. Then we will go to the San Francisco Bay metro area, and our website will actually be released next week, and the CSA will be under what is called SoCal CSA. And then we'll be NorCal CSA, so you can sign up at the site for your particular area.
SoCal CSA and NorCal CSA, the website will be up next week.
.com, yes.
.com, okay. Well, that's really exciting, actually. And I should let people know that we're talking to Alan Herndon. Stay with us, Alan. We have a break coming up. He's with Freckle Sunlight Farms. He'll also be speaking at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, March 20th through 2021 and 2015 at the Marina del Rey Marriott. Go to worldvegansummit.com. You can register now. We'll continue with Alan on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, and Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook. You can support this program with a tax-deductible donation. You can click Donate at goveganradio.com, where you can also hear hundreds of free archives. I really want to get back on the air on Chicago, WCPT, which was one of the stations that ran the show when we were with the Air America Radio Network. I feel that I want to do that before, you know, while there's still one progressive radio station still left. I was trying to get it together to get back on WWRL, but I see that in New York City, but that station has now changed format. I don't know, is WCPT the only progressive station still left in America? And they want us on air, but as you know, for the past 13 years, we have had to pay for airtime. That's how the media have become. Back when I was a program director in radio, we felt we had a certain obligation as public trustees to run important programs that, you know, could save the world, community health, billions of animals. But now we have to pay. And you can help out with a tax-deductible donation at goveganradio.com. And really would like to get back on there on WCPT. So we're talking today with Alan Herndon, who is a veganic farmer. He'll be growing a lot of the food that we'll be having at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, March 2021 and 22 at the Marina del Rey Marriott in Southern California, right near Santa Monica, right near Viva La Vegan Grocery in Santa Monica, and near LAX, and we hope you'll go to worldvegansummit.com and click register. We have veganic farmers coming from Arizona to lecture, and Byron and Janice Smith from Sunazona Farms. And also you can come meet Alan Herndon, who is our guest today, and you can get on the plan to get your own veganic produce, which is really so exciting, offered in First Southern California, then coming to Northern California. I'm really excited about that, coming from Freckled Sunlight Farms. Is there a meaning to the name? What do we mean, Alan? Freckled Sunlight Farms. What does that mean, or does it mean something?
Well, you know, it's just my wife and I, as we looked at the organic fruits and different things, and each fruit is different, you know, just like, you know, people, we have freckles. The fruit has freckles and spots on it. And so, you know, it's just something that we liked. And so we decided to just go with freckled sunlight. It just reminded us of just kind of keeping things in its natural state and the beauty that's in, you know, fruit. As my wife always says, you know, she never trusts a pretty fruit. So you can find all kinds of different shapes and sizes and spots and all types of things on these fruits and vegetables and everything, and know that it's coming from a good source.
So the mutt is always the best here, right?
That's right.
Okay. So, so you said that your farm produces crops every week, right? Or it's constant year round, 52 weeks a year?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So we keep crops in rotation. We use different areas, and you know, let some soil rest, and then we you know, use a seasonal type of chart. Some things, you know, can, you know, are pretty steady for the year, and there's a little downtimes on them, but you know, in this part of the part of the world, you know, we have a lot of sunshine, we have a lot of warmth, so here in California we can enjoy different types of fruits and vegetables all year long.
And what seems to be seasonal right now? What's in season?
So as of right now, there are, you know, you got your summer fruits, all your stone fruits, so the peaches and the nectarines and the plums are really out there right now. A lot of them are very very ripe and ready to go. We are coming to the end of navel season. We do have a few more.
Alan, we have to take a break. Hold on with us. We'll continue with the menu of what's in season and the menu of what will be in season for the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Go to worldvegansummit.com. You can register right now. We'll continue with Alan Herndon, veganic farmer from Freckle Sunlight Farms, on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Radio with Bob Linden, expanded to 2 hours with our national syndication through the Genesis Communications Network. Yes, the same people who syndicate Alex Jones and so many other celebrity talk show hosts also syndicates this program. How'd that happen? First, we deceived the network into thinking that this was a food show. So they said, okay, well, this is great. You're our first food show. I guess we are a food show. I thought we were about everything. War and peace and world hunger and poverty and saving billions of animals and ending, you know, addressing climate change and deforestation and, you know, just... You know, addressing heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes. I guess we are a food show here. You can support us with a tax-deductible donation at goveganradio.com. Just click donate. You can also listen to the hundreds of programs that are archived there. And today we are talking to Alan Herndon, who is a veganic farmer. And if you've missed any of our interview, our programs are archived at goveganradio.com, as I just mentioned. And what is the difference between organic and veganic, or vegan organic, which is veganic? Not to confuse you, but as we heard last hour, in growing organic crops, one can still use animal products such as manure, blood and bone and feathers. And so We'd actually like to take it a level higher than that to veganic, and we are going to have as much veganic food as possible at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. It's not like an eating fest, although it actually is an eating fest, but it is a gathering of people who really want to create a vegan world and see how important that is, and that perhaps there has not been a vegan movement. Yeah, we have to hit the streets and, you know, everywhere we have to hit, the academic towers to the veganic farms, everywhere in between, to talk about how important it is to go vegan. That is, if we want to save the world from climate change, and remember, animal agriculture is responsible for at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. So that means consumption of meat, dairy, fish, and eggs is destroying the world, and we're here to try to save the world and the billions of animals and the children and the planet. And part of that equation is going vegan and going veganic. And so, Alan, before the break, you were telling us what's in season now from your veganic freckled sunlight farms.
So we're right in the middle of the summer season here with all the stone fruits and everything. And, you know, we're just really excited to be a part of the World Vegan Expo coming up, and look forward to planting the produce and getting the vegetables going that we'll be using down there at the event. And we'll get out the seasonal chart and sit down with the chef and, you know, look at what's on the menu. And, you know, it's going to be really cool. We'll take some pictures, do some videos. We already have a designated area that we're looking at on our farm to just for this expo. And we will plant and we will time it, and we will have a harvest just for the World Vegan Expo and bring down all the veganic produce that we can for this. And it's just going to be really cool and exciting.
Yeah, it is amazing, and I might direct people to worldvegansummit.com and registration. There is a sample menu, which is amazing already, and so what we will be doing is putting the chef together with Alan and growing as much as we can of what we need for this menu. And so what you said now... in season right now would be stone fruits. Is that what you said? So that would include what, peaches, plums, or what is that?
Yes. So we have peaches and nectarines and plums. We do have some navels, some Powell navels. We're coming to the end of the navel season, but the Valencia oranges will be here in the next few weeks. Mm-hmm. We've also had some figs. We also do raisins, and those seem to be, most out of the year until we run out. So really the primary things right now are the summer fruits. Everyone's been waiting for them to come, and now they're here. So get out there and get your summer fruits. And and as far as the vegetables and everything that are going is right now we're going to be planting which will be kale, and we'll have different lettuces and onions and leeks and spinach and squash and all kinds of different things out there. So we will actually, what we will be doing is we will be producing a chart over at Viva La Vegan Grocery Store, where you'll be able to find us, and letting you know what veganic produce is coming out at which time.
Uh-huh. That's terrific. And so when is this available at Viva La Vegan Grocery yet? Or
It actually will be available in August, starting just next month, only a few weeks away. We have aligned our partnership and got all of our things together to be able to start offering that there. We will have produce available in the store, which is great. So you'll be able to stop by Viva La Vegan and pick up the produce.
And buy veganic produce off the shelf, you're saying, then, too.
You'll be able to get it off the shelf. And we're also going to be making it available for a pickup. If you want to sign up for, like, a weekly box on a subscription, you can do it weekly or you can do it biweekly. And you can just the pickup day will be on Wednesday. So we will have that available and published at our website at SoCalCSA.com.
You'll be able to pick
up a box there or pick up a few things out of the right there off the shelf.
Terrific. And can you predict or do you have in mind, you know, what would be in season at about the time of the World Vegan Summit and Expo, you know, March 20, 21, 22? Can you, in your mind's eye, envision what might be?
There's so many different things. It's going to be so exciting to get with the chef and, you know, see what else we can add to it. But definitely there will be carrots and celery and broccoli and kale and lettuce and beets and onions and leeks and squash and spinach and potatoes. And, you know, there's just so many different things. And if there's some varieties that we're not producing at that time, that's what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and grow it just for the World Vegan Summit and Expo there. And so it will be available.
That's amazing. We're going to
produce it at the time we will.
Yeah, that is fantastic. We're going to grow some special crops for our event, you know, to match the menu. And is it by September that you have to plant what might be available in March?
It just depends on what the chef has in mind. But I think, you know, as long as that we have our plan in place and everything by September, we'll be able to, you know, really kind of just, you know, look at what the growth cycle on it is and then really kind of start at that time and then, you know, plant as we need to as the timeline gets closer and closer to it. So we'll be able to time things appropriately. So we'll have like a big World Vegan Summit and Expo harvest and we'll just harvest it all up and we'll take it all down and, yeah,
and we'll document it.
We'll come together.
We'll document it. We'll get it. You know, we'll get pictures and all. This is, you know, it'll be great that we see the food that we'll be eating. We'll see it growing veganically, which is really quite amazing. And what fruits might be available then?
At that time of year, it will we'll be in our navel citrus season. So we'll have car oranges. We'll have cantaloupes. We'll have tangerines, and we'll have different grapefruits. So
amazing. We're going to wake up in the morning and have a glass of veganic grapefruit juice or orange juice. We're going to eat veganic salads. This is amazing. You know, it's a first. It's worth the price of admission just for that. One other thing, Alan. And we're talking to Alan Herndon of he's with Freckled Sunlight Farms, veganic farmer, and there was some talk recently about the school that your child attends. I wonder, it was in the news, right? Muse School?
So Muse School, and so
in Calabasas.
Year, and Muse's school is, you know, very committed to the environment, the education, sustainability, and they had announced that they were going to go all vegan on their menu, and I think that they have taken steps towards that, and my wife was on the food committee and so forth, and so I think one more year from now, you know, depending on what the school decides to do, of course, I can't speak on their behalf, but I know definitely 3 days a week the menu is full vegan. And then they have like 2 days out of the week. I think one day they'll be offering something with yogurt, one day maybe with a chicken. But we're excited to see. This is the first I've ever heard of a school going vegan, at least making the transition to do it. And I think that they're getting close to doing that. So that's exciting. And so that's Muse School. You can find them at museschool.org, and that's exciting for the first school I've ever heard of in history going all vegan.
So it will be, it's moving in that direction, and then will be at a certain point all vegan, and there are some celebrity names attached to Muse School.
I think there's, it's kind of up in the hills between Malibu and Calabasas.
And it's James Cameron, and his wife is active there. Thanks for being with us today, Alan Herndon. We'll see you at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, and we'll be ordering your veganic produce.
Okay, thank you so much, Bob. Appreciate it.
Okay, talk to you soon. Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. We start grooving on Sunday afternoons at 5 o'clock Pacific time. We are live from 5 to 7, and you can click Listen Live at GoVeganRadio.com, where the programs are archived, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support the program, where you can link to the World Vegan Summit and Expo coming up March 20, 21, and 22, a first of its kind. This is an HSUS free event, huh? So it's not a free event. I mean, you know, you have to pay for it, but it's HSUS free, which so much in its favor. Really, when you come right down to it, thinking about the Animal Rights Conference coming up shortly, a so-called Animal Rights Conference, ARCon, coming up in the Los Angeles area in July. One can only wonder what wisdom the HSUS speaker will bestow upon those gathered there. HSUS incomprehensibly invited by Farm to participate in the LA conference, supposed to be an animal rights conference, but HSUS, pro meat HSUS, can tell attendees, well, how to be pro meat and still be considered an animal advocacy organization. HSUS can tell attendees how you can be pro slaughter and still get invited to speak at an AR conference. HSUS can also tell you how to be found guilty of racketeering in a federal case, how to give $16 million in donor money to Ringling Brothers, and how to appropriate $25 million in donations for offshore hedge fund investments, Cayman Island investments. And then HSUS Vice President and pig farmer Joe Maxwell can stab a hog for a Happy Meat AR Conference barbecue. Has it come to that yet? Or, as I said, you may want to attend a certified HSUS free event. As I said again, it's not a free event. It's free of HSUS, which is practically worth the price of admission. The veganic food that we'll have there is definitely worth the price of admission. And just look at the activities and the speakers lined up. Professor Gary Francione with a number of presentations there. By the way, he is off this week. We will not have commentary from Professor Francione this week. He will return next week. And again, he is one of the prime presenters at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. We're opening up exhibitor tables shortly, and Alan Herndon, who was just with us, veganic farmer, will have one of those tables there. And I do want to express appreciation to Vegetarian House, who got the ball rolling, really. This is a grassroots effort that will require much funding. Initially, we had to come up with $7,500 for a deposit for the Marriott. And the way we're doing it is basically we get the venue because we're paying for the food. And the food is going to be highest quality, as I said, as much veganic as possible. And we're also going to have new cutting boards and knives and cookware. So nothing used will ever have touched so-called animal product, you know, meat, dairy, fish, or eggs. So we're really going to make this happen because it really is an important event. And if we vegans don't get together to figure out how to promote veganism and get everybody to go vegan, well, then it's all over. It's all over anyway then, right? I mean, it's the only way to address climate change. Alternative energy will not do it. Would require $18 trillion to put new alternative energy infrastructure in place. Yet, if we go vegan and address the 51% of greenhouse gas emissions, we can make progress. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. GoVeganRadio.com on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio. We will continue. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, and Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And still have a couple of Bob Linden pages maxed out there. And I want to remind you that the World Vegan Summit and Expo is coming up March 20, 21, and 22. Greenlight Meals will have a table there. Greenlight Meals supporting this program, letting you know that wherever you are in the USA, there's no excuse not to go vegan because you can have delicious meals delivered right to your door, home or office. And, all the reasons to go vegan, you want to do it. You don't want to feed the kids decomposing corpse, covered with pathogens. And, you want to do something for the environment. You know, it's time for better health and, really want to care about the animals. So you can go vegan by answering your door. Check out the menu at greenlightmeals.com. That's green L-I-T-E meals.com. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, snacks, smoothies, desserts, all there. Some favorites for the kids. You have gift certificates available, and also available nutritional counseling, weight loss counseling with Melissa Bray. So I strongly suggest you go to greenlightmeals.com and, hear from a lot of people who say, oh, there's no vegan restaurant where I live here in Tennessee or wherever. And so just have delicious cuisine delivered right to your door. If you're lucky enough to be in the Bay Area, San Jose area, you can have catering from Vegetarian House, one of the premier vegan restaurants in the known universe at 520 East Santa Clara Street. Vegetarianhouse.us is the website, and you can look at that menu. And if you have an event coming up in the Bay Area, a business event, social event, a wedding, and you want the food to be spectacular, I suggest you get in touch with Vegetarian House. We again appreciate the support from Vegetarian House and getting things going on the World Vegan Summit and Expo, helping us raise funds toward that deposit. We still have to raise a lot more money to pay for the food. That's the deal. You know, we're not guaranteeing hotel rooms. We're just saying we're going to eat a lot of great vegan food here. And we thank Nature's Flavors for support. Their brands, Select, S-E-E-L-E-C-T, you know, like Select Tea that you see in store, Select Coffee, also cooking and baking products, and Birdie and Bill Sodas. So thank you, Nature's Flavors, for helping us get things rolling with this expo, and also Sentient Lifestyle. Visit the website sentientlifestyle.com, and wonderful support from those folks. And as I mentioned, Professor Gary Francione is off this evening. We expect him back next Sunday. I was talking earlier, you know, it's summer, and think about going to the beach, right? But many of us now, I don't know, we're just so obese. It's just, you know, we just want to, you know, just not move, just be, you know, couch potatoes or whatever. I suppose, really, we can just wait for the beach to come to us. We didn't look at this yet until now, but just fairly recently, it was reported in the New York Times, scientists warn of rising oceans from polar melt. So there you are, if you're sitting on the couch in Kansas, you know, Nebraska, pretty soon it might be beachfront property. A large section of the mighty West Antarctica ice sheet has begun falling apart, and it's continuing to melt, and that melting appears to be unstoppable. Two groups of scientists said recently, if the melting continues, it could destabilize the neighboring parts of the ice sheet, and a rise in sea level of up to 10 feet or more can be unavoidable. It says that in the coming centuries, right? Up to 10 feet or more in the coming centuries. What a relief, huh? But we always find out later that we calculated a little off. And when we meant the coming centuries, like we meant next week? No, well, okay, here it's hinting at that. But what disappears with a rising sea level of 10 feet? You know, what island? Manhattan Island? What island nation? Who? I mean, this is insanity. And it says in the New York Times, in this environment article, global warming caused by the human-driven release of greenhouse gases has helped to destabilize the ice sheet throughout though other factors may also be involved, the scientists said. So global warming caused by the human-driven release of greenhouse gases has helped to destabilize the ice sheet. So basically, everything's going to flood over, you know, Manhattan Island. What would that mean? Do we say goodbye to Australia, all the Pacific Islands? I mean, where will all the environmental refugees go? You know, Are we going to grow gills? Huh? Will we evolve to that? Okay. It says the rise of the sea is likely to continue to be relatively slow for the rest of the 21st century. But in the more distant future, may accelerate markedly. May accelerate, you know, and these things always seem to accelerate more than we expect. Anyway, a quote here from Thomas P. Wagner, who runs NASA's programs on polar ice. He says, quote, "This is really happening." He said that in an interview. There's nothing to stop it now, but you are still limited by the physics of how fast the ice can flow. So it was basically related to two scientific papers released fairly recently by the journal Science and Geophysical Research Letters, came to similar conclusions with NASA. So both groups of scientists found that West Antarctic glaciers had retreated far enough to set off an inherent instability in the ice sheet. That experts have feared for decades. That experts have feared for decades. So it's actually happening. What has been feared for decades, there you have it. It says the West Antarctic ice sheet sits in a bowl-shaped depression in the Earth, with the base of the ice below sea level. Warm ocean water is causing the ice sitting along the rim of the bowl to thin and retreat. As the front edge of the ice pulls away from the rim and enters deeper water, it can retreat much faster than before. This was a team from UC Irvine. How many ice sheets are in Irvine? From UC Irvine, they said, "Today we present observational evidence that a large sector of the West Antarctic ice sheet has gone into irreversible retreat." So there you have it. The oceans are warmed. Have I ever mentioned on this program how animal agriculture is responsible for at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions? And that is from the World Bank. It is not I just making up something here, because I love animals and I want you to go vegan. That's from the World Bank. And the World Bank was at least the climate experts behind that report at the World Bank, whose work you can see at chompingclimatechange.com. Chompingclimatechange.org. And so in referring to that New York Times article, it was saying that it points to hopeful measures to avert the catastrophe. It talks about the New York Times saying that, as I just mentioned, ice in the Antarctica may now be almost, inevitable in its melting, and this phenomenon could cause enough sea level rise that many of the world's coastal cities would eventually have to be abandoned. So we have the phenomenon. I mean, how serious can you get? If animal agriculture is causing the greatest release of greenhouse gas emissions, do we not have to go vegan immediately if we really care about climate change. You know, if we don't want to just give lip service to it and sing songs that we have to do something, maybe we should start singing a song that we have to do something, like Go Vegan. Let me continue on this subject coming up. As I said, Professor Gary Francione returns next week. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. GoVeganRadio.com. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. On Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And I invite you to register for the World Vegan Summit and Expo at WorldVeganSummit.com, the most important gathering imaginable. I often listen to Alan Watts, who was a philosopher on Pacifica Radio. He talked some years back about all the great thinkers in the 60s and 70s. They were imagining that they needed to put a conference together. You know, they all needed to gather together because so much was going wrong. You know, that they thought, well, we need to put together a conference. And then they decided, but what would we say? You know, what's the point? You know, but now we know what we need to say. We have to ask everyone to go vegan. You know, just this is as important as it gets, doesn't it? I mean, is anybody interested in climate change? But why do we follow the meat-eating guru Bill McKibben into environmental disaster when the facts tell us, well, we see polar ice sheets are melting now, and looks like we'll have sea level rises that eventually could lead to most coastal cities being abandoned. There are the climate specialists from the World Bank who talk about hopeful measures to avert such an outcome, proposed in a new article in the journal Global Change Biology. These measures, they say, would involve reforesting as much as possible of the 45% of all land on Earth now estimated to be used for raising livestock. Wow, is that a waste? 45% of all land on Earth now estimated to be used for raising so-called livestock. That is amazing. You know, when you consider, you know, that an acre of land can produce, what, 150, 160 pounds of barf, I mean beef, or 20,000 pounds of potatoes, or, you know, I mean, the climate specialists are saying that most land used for so-called livestock was once forested and could be reforested again, allowing it to absorb excess greenhouse gas in the atmosphere. According to the Global Change Biology article, if so-called livestock products, meat, dairy, and egg products are replaced with what they say are better alternatives, the translation of that would be vegan food. It says this could generate unique dual benefit. Greenhouse gas attributable to livestock can be significantly reduced. And at the same time, the huge amount of land used for livestock could be freed up for reforestation and absorbing greenhouse gas in the atmosphere. And we are reminded here that using renewable energy to achieve the same outcome wouldn't be possible, according to the International Energy Agency, which has estimated that sufficient renewable energy would cost at least $18 trillion and take at least 20 years. This would be long past the time available to stop the rapid melting of the Antarctic. In contrast, large-scale changes in food and forest could be available almost overnight, they tell us. Better alternatives to livestock products are generally made from whole grains and legumes, such as peas, sorghum, and beans. You know what it means. Fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, seeds. Vegan food. It's the only way to save the world. Join us. Go vegan today. Thanks for listening. And please support the program. You can donate at goveganradio.com.